This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast. I think we're getting old. There we go. And now I know we got Ted on the phone. Let that simmer for a little bit. Do we welcome you back in on a Football Friday? Texans, Patriots. Yeah, oh, yeah. That's Rush, all right. Texans, Patriots. Noon kick. Seth and I got you for pregame at 9 a.m. You can hear it all on Sports Radio 610. This guy did some Texans radio back in the day. He's up in Boston now. You can find him a few mornings a week on 100.7 WZLX. That's a classic rock station. If anybody oozes classic rock and football, it is our next guest. He is on the hotline. He is our good friend. He's our former colleague. He's a three-time Super Bowl champion. He is Ted Johnson. Teddy J, what's going on, dude?
Hey, what's up, you guys? Sean, Seth, it is good to talk to you boys. And yes, we've already we played a Rush song already in today's show. So I always appreciate the intro. But I couldn't believe it when I got an invitation to come work here. I was like, wait, a classic rock station turned to sports talk, just the morning show. So 2 days a week, so it fits my schedule really nice. The good thing is, guys, is the studio is literally 2.5 miles from my house, so it takes me about 7 minutes to get to work, which is a nice little thing to have when you have to be at work by 6 o'clock in the morning.
Well, that's right. Yeah, you know what, Ted? Yeah, like we need to clarify because the way that Sean, who by the way has already botched one thing this morning, we do a circle of swarm, and Sean botched that. I feel like the way Sean presented that, it's like that your full-time job is now rock DJ. Are you now a full-time rock DJ?
Couldn't be further from the opposite. Except these, okay. I am not, but I work. But my producer, my great producer Kenny Young, he's kind of a rock DJ. So I'm around rock DJs a lot though now, Seth. So, like you know the voices and the intros and they talk while the music's playing as they're introducing the song. It takes a certain skill set to kind of do rock station versus sports talk. So the two are so different. It's been fun to kind of see the difference.
That'd be hard for me because you and I both have memories, from childhood of trying to record your favorite song on a cassette tape and the damn DJ. Won't shut up or starts talking right at the end. Yeah, and now all of a sudden you're part of that world.
That's my world now, bud. It's odd. I mean, good kind of side benefits to this job is I pretty much can get tickets to any concert that ever comes to Boston. That's a nice little kind of feather in the cap, too, working here for iHeart.
Always working all the angles. I like it. Ted Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Ted Johnson joining us. All right, Teddy. So we got the Texans and the Patriots. This is new territory here for both of these teams. The Texans, who have never won at Gillette Stadium, going up to New England now as a touchdown favorite. So we'll get into some of the details of where the Patriots are and so forth, but just what's been the general chatter about this game? How much are the Patriots on the radar right now up there in Boston? Give us the lay of the land up there with this game.
Well, this game, you know, look, the tone and tenor of this game changed for people here on Tuesday. This past Tuesday, and you go, well, what happened past Tuesday? Well, the Patriots announced that Drake May, who was the third overall pick, you know, the Patriots' first-round draft pick, is going to start his first NFL game against the Houston Texans. And so this game was really, you know, when you consider how bad the season's been and particularly how bad the Patriots played last Sunday versus Miami, the fan interest has waned here. It has the last few years, but it really felt like, you know, just more and more people that apathy was really setting in. And that is terrifying to the ownership here. And I feel like, you know, partly the decision to play Drake May wasn't, I don't think, 100% a football decision. I think definitely PR and the owner had a role in this decision as well, because how bad it's been. Just really, I think there was no one really expected the Patriots to have this, you know, a great season, make the playoffs. But you were hoping to see signs of life and maybe, you know, something that was different than what you saw here in the last 4 years without Tom Brady. And then at the end of the Bill Belichick era, you're kind of hoping you would see a better product. And you really have seen a team that got off to a good start when they, in week one, beating the Cincinnati Bengals. But it has just been really, ever since then, it has been just awful, an awful product to watch. And so I think a lot of what, you know, the announcement coming in on Tuesday with Drake May starting was PR as well as football. And so that has kind of bumped up the interest in this game a little bit, is just the fact that Drake May is starting. But no one here really feels real confident about our chances. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows how, it's amazing, guys. Like, I was down in, you know, Houston for those 8 years that I did radio with you guys. And, you know, it was kind of like, the Texans wanted to be what the Patriots are. And now it feels like it's reversed. I mean, we're citing how what the Texans are doing and how we wish we could be the Texans. So it's just a strange, strange dynamic for me.
Yeah, it's a damn shame is what it is. with Drake
I know
May,
you're all beat up about it.
I can hardly sleep. So Drake May, though, himself, what did you see from him in the preseason? Then it's always interesting these days when you draft a guy number 3 overall and you choose not to start him immediately. Was that because it felt like Drake May wasn't quite ready yet, or was it just a bad circumstance because of the offensive line, et cetera?
It was really more of your first point, Seth. Although I think your second point definitely played a factor. It was, I mean, in all the pre-draft hype and information that was out there, I think pretty much every, you know, experts said that, you know, Drake was a project, you know, that, you know, he's a guy that needed some marinating. To play a guy, you know, right out of the chute, who's never been in a huddle, doesn't call his own plays, never took a ball under center. Like, you know, it's like he's never had to regurgitate a play in a huddle before, you know, and he's never really taken snaps under center. And, you know, the Alex Van Pelt offense, West Coast offense, you're under center. You have these long kind of plays that you got to spit out. And so, you know, and then the other big thing on him was his footwork. He needed a lot of work. So all those things were kind of like what we heard about, you know, before the draft. And then the draft comes, they draft him. And then that was what all they've been telling us, is that it was going to take time. Well, I think the timeline for him to start has been expedited. I don't think they did not want to play him this early. But I think what they're seeing is just a team that's just way, way worse than they thought, way worse than they anticipated. And so it's kind of forced their hand, and they're putting a kid out there, guys, honestly, that's probably not ready for what's about to happen. But they just feel like there's, you know, they have nowhere else to go. And part of the problem is I'm trying to think who's the team that, much like the Miami Dolphins, you know, didn't have a better backup plan for Tua, you know, a guy that's had a history of concussions. You should have probably planned for that if you're the Miami Dolphins better. The Patriots really didn't have a better plan to back up Jacoby Brissett. If they didn't want to play Drake May, they never went and got a better quality veteran backup to back up Jacoby and then really put Drake in that 3 spot. They had Drake May backing up Jacoby Brissett when they knew the offensive line was horrendous, when they knew the receivers were terrible, when they knew they had all a new coaching staff that had never coached – been official coaches of their positions. And so, you know, they should have had a better plan. They didn't. And so now here we are, Drake May starting, you know, week six with an offensive line that has just like a paper mache offensive line and receivers that are having trouble getting open and running the wrong route. So they couldn't put him in a worse spot. But everybody pretty much saw this coming, that he was going to take time. I just think, you know, who knows what we're going to get. Everyone's trying to figure out what offense are we going to see. Are we going to see his college offense, or are we going to see the Alec Van Pelt offense? And so I don't know if it's going to be a hybrid or what. So we're all curious to see what that looks like. And you'll see it for the first time as well as us on Sunday.
You know, okay, so you're telling me all that stuff, Ted, and things that, like, as a Texans fan, I should get excited about all of that. And yet, as Sean pointed out earlier, one of his better moments in this show, the Texans,
I love it.
The Texans have never won at Foxborough. The average margin of defeat is 18 points. It's been rough up there. So I think I can speak for most Texans fans as they're listening to you say all those things about how dire a situation it is, how bad Drake May is set up to fail, all of this other stuff. There's a part of me that I can't even get excited about it. Like, so paint me a picture. Paint me a picture of what it looks like for the Patriots to pull off an upset in this game. What do we need to worry about? Like, what do they do well right now?
Seth, I don't know if, you know, I can tell you what they've done well at spurts, but they really, both sides of the ball. I mean, really, this offense was supposed to, look, you know, if you had to say one thing, is running the ball and stopping the run. But they haven't really even been doing that well recently. But that's really what the Patriots kind of wanted to hang their hat on, and really got off to a good start. I mean, Ramondre Stevenson, probably their best player on offense. He hasn't practiced all week. He's got a undisclosed injury. So I don't know what the status is for him in this game, but it was really, really is running the football, which, you know, that can maybe, you know, you can, you know, chew up a lot of clock and maybe have some ball control with that, but, you know, it's not helping with scoring points. And if you get behind at all, that doesn't help you. And so in the Patriots defense, a lot of people thought this was going to be a top five defense. Please, it's not even close. I mean, Seth, I mean, I would, if I'm a Texans fan, all those, you know, stats that you rattled off, I mean, I'm guessing that the margin of victory and not winning up here ever, it was all when Tom Brady was here and Bill Belichick. Those two, you know, Belichick, you know, this he's not here, obviously. You know, Tom's been gone for 4 years. It's a totally different New England Patriots. This feels like the late 80s, early 90s Patriots. And, by the way, they're going to be wearing their throwback uniform, so it's going to give all these fans here this weird, awful feeling of like 1990 when they won one game, right?
Hey,
and so
Ted,
awful timing to wear these throwback jerseys. Like, oh, my God, you know, with – against a team that's clearly better than you, you know, in your first start with a quarterback, it's just going to bring a lot of memories of the horrible teams that this team, you know, was in the late 80s, early 90s.
What number?
We're gonna honor Hugh Millen at the
Steve Grogan. Yeah, like what number does
Zolak's going to come out of the booth?
What number does Drake May wear, Ted? What's his jersey number?
He wears number 10, which. An old quarterback, it was named Sequels. He was horrible, number 10, back in the day in the throwback.
It's to remind people. He should wear Sequels on his back.
Tony Eason. Wasn't Tony Eason 10?
He was 11. I remember that.
He was 11. Yeah. Yeah, so it's going to bring back a lot of bad memories. And so Texans fans can relax. Unless the Texans just are sleepwalking and go out, you know, ripping it up in Providence the night before. This really should be no contest because it's the offensive line versus your defensive line. It's we got a new center, you know, who just was horrendous in his first start last week. We lost our starting center, who was probably our best offensive lineman, to an injury, and so. You know, it should be feasting time for that Texans defense.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Browns.
Ted Johnson is joining us, three-time Super Bowl champ, obviously our former colleague here at Sports Radio 610. He's on the radio up in Boston now. Ted, I'm curious, given the fact that when it seems like once Nick Caserio left the building up there, the Patriots started doing much different things personnel-wise. They spent like crazy in free agency one year. They've not been very good drafting. They are where they are right now because things haven't been good in terms of roster construct. And meanwhile, Nick has been the main catalyst behind building the team that's going to take the field on Sunday that's 4-1. What's been the talk up there in New England? How does Caserio fit into all these storylines when it comes to the New England Patriots?
It's weird. You know, Nick doesn't even get isn't getting brought up. I think they're just so worried about the current front office structure and the dynamics and the power struggles that's going on between the head coach and what we all believe is maybe a difference of opinions with our general manager, and director of player personnel, which is what I think Nick's role was here. There is just Nick's name should be brought up because I think Nick Caserio was a huge kind of had a at least he had the ear of Bill Belichick, and I think he had some influence with Bill Belichick, and I think when Bill had Nick Caserio here in the front office helping him scout guys, I think Bill was better at drafting. I really do. And so I think, and that was kind of it. That was a big kind of, thing that we pointed to for the decline in the Patriots, even when Bill Belichick was here, was the brain drain that was going on with a lot of scouts and just front office people were leaving to get better jobs for a million different reasons. And that really was impacting, Bill Belichick and his ability to evaluate talent and to bring good players in. So even though it hasn't been a big topic, I will tell you, I think it definitely there's a huge kind of, void when Nick Caserio left here. So, I think it started out a little rocky there with Nick, but, you look at some of the kind of the aggressive forward-thinking moves he's made, trading for Stephon Diggs, like, those were kind of things that we did in the mid-2000s that helped us with our dynasty that they just don't do anymore. They're risk-averse, and you see kind of what the effects of that that's been here. It hasn't been good.
You said something earlier that piqued my interest, and it was about Bob Kraft and perhaps him being alarmed at the how apathetic the fans got, like seemingly very quickly. So Bob Kraft and Jerry Jones have always had a kind of a rivalry, and there have always been reports that Bob Kraft feels like Jerry Jones gets a lot of more credit than Bob does, and he should get credit for this, that, the other. Is that part of? Do you get any sense that Bob Kraft is looking at the way the Patriots are being perceived right now and realizing like, oh wow, Jerry's team is always relevant even when they're not that good. And my team is just kind of falling into the by the wayside and nobody's paying attention to him.
Without a doubt, Seth, he would never admit it, but we all know, I mean, it's Robert Kraft is, behind the scenes, there's been people that have been trying to really kind of bolster his candidacy for Hall of Fame. He wants to be in the Hall of Fame. He would never say it publicly that he thinks he should be in the Hall of Fame, but I guarantee you, privately he thinks that, and he doesn't like the fact that Jerry Jones is and not him. He thinks if you look at the Patriots, 10-part docuseries that came out this last offseason, Kraft had a big hand in what was put into that documentary. And the angle is, I think Robert Kraft sees himself as a big reason that we won 6 Super Bowls here. That's how he sees himself. He doesn't see himself as an owner that just, owns the team. He sees himself as the reason, partly the reason that we won all those championships. So he's got a massive, massive ego and thinks, he's worthy of a Hall of Fame candidacy. So that's kind of there is definitely a tension here and a tension there when it comes to that, and he thinks he should be looked at the same way. But the problem is, the brand is not what he would hoped it would be after all these championships. The Bears have a better brand. Obviously the Cowboys have a better brand. The Washington Commanders have a bigger brand. There's even with all the success, the Patriots brand will never probably live up to those kind of tried and true old school brands like the Cowboys. And I think that bums out Mr. Kraft, but that's the truth of it, and that's never sat well with him.
Well, I'm sure his depiction in the Aaron Hernandez FX series will soothe some of those wounds. I'm sure that'll be fine. The brand is back. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You've been really watching? Teddy, you've been watching it at all?
I was told, someone told me that, I heard on the radio the other day, some caller called in and said that the guy that plays Bill Belichick, looks like Ted Johnson trying to act like Scott Golak, which is the most random thing ever. I'm like, so I got to see it just to see. He thinks the actor looks like me, does he? Okay,
in the face,
like an ugly version of you.
The super handsome version that you are right now. No, like that's a really funny analogy. I'll just put it that way. Yeah, dude, it's something else, man. Some of the acting choices on this are outstanding. Yeah,
Go ahead, Seth.
Oh, no, I was saying Bob Kraft in that audition video that he had was a better actor than the guy that was playing Bob Kraft.
Yeah, yeah.
I've heard the quality of the show is not that good. And you know what it is, too? I'm sure everybody's just so, okay, enough with the pick. There's been enough things out there about Brady, enough things about Hernandez. I'm kind of like, my cup runneth over. I have no more kind of desire to see any more shows about that. But I heard that's a doozy.
I disagree. I want more. I think if it's like this FX series, I could do it every week. It's so cheesy and bad. It's awesome.
That it's so cheesy and bad that it's good.
Yes. Yeah. 100%.
It's like the sitcom Small Wonder back in the day, where you're like, this is so bad, and I cannot stop watching.
Can't take my eyes off of it. It's unbelievable. Teddy, before we cut you loose, obviously you're doing great on the air up there. I know I see you on Instagram and text with you. Kids are great. How the folks? Yeah. Everybody's good, man, because people are asking on the text page, how's Teddy doing?
That's very nice. I miss everyone down there. I really do. Gosh, I wish I had a team to cover like the Texans, but I'm doing great personally. I'm still doing TV. I really enjoy my role on TV. I do pre and post game, and I do a show, just an X's and O's show every Monday on NBC Sports Boston up here. And then getting this morning show, it fits perfectly into my schedule, and really it's something that I can handle. You know, doing a show, God bless you guys, doing it every day, getting up and doing it every day. It's probably not the best for my overall health. And so I just come in here every Monday and Friday and do the morning show, which I've really enjoyed. So it fits perfectly. I got my kids are both in college now, and they're doing great, playing their sports at great schools. And, you know, and I'm doing great with my girlfriend. You guys know Robin. And so everything's really good for me right now. And so I have nothing to complain about. I'm very, very fortunate when you consider where I was at certain points of my life, even there in Houston. So I'm very lucky to be healthy and happy and have good jobs, and that everybody in my life is doing well. So I appreciate you asking, and everybody wondering how I'm doing. I'm doing great, and I appreciate all the support I've gotten from fans in Houston. I was very lucky to do radio there, and I cut my teeth on radio there, and I'll never forget my experiences down there. It was wonderful, and thank you for the support, guys.
Oh, of course,
I feel like I wanted to try to talk you into coming back down here now that your kids are out of the house, but now I feel like, all right, you sound like you're happy.
So I'm doing good, Seth.
Choose
I'm
happiness, good, I suppose, or you could come cover this hot young team.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know what? And I will say this, good for you guys. I've always said this. Anybody that says, my buddies that do radio down there in Houston, all the fans, they deserve a good team. It is a town that loves their Texans. It is a football town and city. We all know that. And obviously, when the time I was there covering that team, it just was, you know, comically bad and just awful. And so where you guys are now, I feel you guys, no town deserves a good team like you guys in the city of Houston. So I'm happy for you guys.
That's awesome. Well, Ted, it's great to hear your voice, man. Glad to see you and hear you doing so awesome. And best of the family. And we will we'll talk again soon, man. Much love. Appreciate you, brother.
I miss you guys. And all the best to you and your family, guys. And we'll talk soon, okay? You all be right. Good.
Sounds good. That is the great Ted Johnson, 3-time Super Bowl winner and our former colleague here at Sports Radio 610. All right, we got to jump out. We went a little over, but it's worth it to talk to Ted. How much do the announcers in Thursday Night Football, Major League Baseball, how much do they affect your enjoyment of the product? Because somebody stood on the table for them yesterday. Another former colleague. stood on the table for them. And we'll get to a final preview of the Texans and the Patriots, and we will do that as we head towards the top of the hour. Stay there.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.